Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
Hello, and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our Season 7 Summit.
Didn't we almost have it all?
Mm-hmm. As you can hear, I'm a little under the weather. So Dusty is going to be taking the lead and singing today, which is for the most part, probably the best always.
The ride with you was worth the fall, my friend.
Didn't we all That's right.
Have it all?
Our summit
there you go.
Episodes are our season wrap party.
That's right. It's our way of encompassing all of the parks we visited this past season and viewing them through four different lenses that investigate these parks a little bit deeper.
These summit episodes allow us to look at the parks from the season by examining the visitor experience, the history, the environment and wildlife, and on a much grander scale, the hiking and experiences within the parks. Each episode is sort of like a category of Trivial Pursuit. If you've listened to the show for long enough, you know that games and trivia are sort of our jam.
This third of four summit episodes of what would likely be the green piece of the pie in Trivial Pursuit is wildlife. Each national park features its own specific ecosystem full of flora, fauna, mammals, and insects, reptiles, amphibians, and more, some of which could only be seen at the park you may be visiting. And sometimes that's even how they get their names.
We're looking at you, Joshua Tree and Sequoia.
Before we dive into the wildlife in the parks we visited this season, let's just level set about where we are right now with our government, the national parks, and its effect on wildlife. After the mass firings from DOGE, some of the positions were able to be hired back, but that doesn't mean they have been. There is so much red tape to getting employees working, especially for the federal government. So even though some jobs were cleared to start again, doesn't mean they have.
370 employees from the Fish and Wildlife Service were fired, many of whom were biologists and scientists. From Desiree Sorensen Groves, president and CEO of the National Wildlife Refuge Association. Quote, losing this many dedicated employees all at once is an especially devastating blow to conservation efforts nationwide and an intentional dismantling of science. The National Wildlife Refuge System was already underfunded and understaffed. The people being fired today are the backbone of wildlife protection in this country. Without them, habitats will degrade, endangered species will go unmonitored, trails will remain unmaintained, and visitors will lose access to environmental education and recreation opportunities. This is a crisis. These terminations will have long-lasting consequences for the protection of wildlife and habitat, as well as for the communities that depend on refuges for recreation, tourism, and economic benefits, end quote.
Many of the fired employees with the National Park Service and other government agencies include trail crews, maintenance staff, wastewater treatment crews, and endangered species biologists, all of whom directly interact with wildlife each and every day of their work.
The Fish and Wildlife Services specifically is charged with the most responsibility when it comes to the Endangered Species Act and the international work required to fully service that responsibility, specifically regarding the role endangered species play in medical breakthroughs. For example, their work with Madagascar periwinkle, found only in Madagascar, and the role it has played in fighting cancer, or the role that pollinators, like monarch butterflies, play in food production.
All of this is brought to us by the Fish and Wildlife Service, who lost 420 staff members to firings and 300 to resignation offerings. Endangered species are part of ecosystems that keep animal populations contained, that keep the balance. It is up to us to help keep that balance, and without the people and resources to do that, the entire ecosystem, including how it affects us directly, will be impacted.
Not to mention all the work that every agency affected by the DOGE cuts has on wildlife prevention and safety.
In conclusion, without wildlife, we have nothing thing. We as a human species are a part of that wildlife, and without our role in the ecosystem collapses.
Now let's turn our gaze toward the wildlife that is uniquely found in the parks that we visited this year. These parks include Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Guadalupe Mountains National Park, and Carlsbad Caverns National Park.
But let's start with a disclaimer. We are visitors to this space and every space when we're in a national park, and all of them are parks where wildlife and animals and plants live. We want to be respectful of everything. We are traipsing in and around areas where they live, and we are walking by the things they need in order to live. The same way you don't want a bear to come into your kitchen, rip off your fridge door, and then destroy your sink in the process. They do not want us to walk over and crush all of their food sources, so it is important to remain on trails and very far away from wildlife at all times. It is so imperative. Don't be one of those Taurons of Yellowstone who gets gored by a bison because they got out of their car to follow a bison up the road. No thanks. Do not do this. Also, do not feed them. This is how wildlife becomes dependent on human food. Feeding them is never, ever the answer. They will be fine. They will find food.
Let's start with Olympic National Park. Olympic National Park is on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha Tklalom, Jamestown Tklalom, Port Gamble Tklalom, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Kulit, and Makah people. First, Olympic National Park features some of the biggest variety of ecosystems found in a single park. They include alpine, subalpine, temperate rainforest, coastal forest, montane forest, and lowland forest. Check our trail mix on the science of rainforests to hear more of a deep dive into Olympic's temperate rainforest.
Speaking of trail mix episodes from this season, our first member of the Olympic wildlife family up for discussion is the banana slug. Okay, so we saw a banana slug.
We saw a few of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one we saw was when we were in our first hike, when we were on the staircase hike. I don't know if that was dead. It may have been. It was non-moving.
It wasn't moving.
Yeah, but
slugs are known for how fast they move. Yeah. we did see another one on the Shy Shy Beach hike.
Yes, at the initial part of the Shy Shy Beach hike.
Which is mostly trail at first.
Yeah,
where you
and
have
wet.
To like park in the like muddy area, parking area.
Yeah.
And very much wet.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of like varying color to like from like a lime green to a yellow. Just depends. I feel like these guys were mostly kind of like lime green that we saw. Yeah,
we did. Yeah, we did. We did an entire deep dive on banana slugs and also their incredibly violent mating rituals you don't want to miss. And you can find that in our trail mix about them from this season.
We also did a deep dive this season on tide pools, also found in Olympic National Park. Tide pools are found on the coastal beaches of Olympic and are best seen at low tide.
So we do love a tide pool.
Yeah, this was like, I think, our second opportunity to see tide pools in the parks, and it definitely gave the both of us a lot of life.
We saw most of these tide pools on the Ozette Triangle hike, which feels like the edge of the world, especially the day we were there.
Yeah, we did see some on Shy Shy Beach, though, too.
Some
That's
there.
Where we encountered, and some on Rialto Beach.
That's
when we
true.
Hiked to Hole in the Wall. Yeah,
but the starfish here were huge.
Giant.
I mean, we're talking huge, and they were so many colors.
Yeah.
It was purple, orange,
mm-hmm. browns,
yeah, red.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were enormous. The kind of starfish that you think about when you study starfish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you dream about starfish.
Huge. and they were incredible. Incredible. Highly recommend. Now let's get into some of the mammal wildlife that you might see in Olympic National Park. While hiking in the mountains, you might run into mountain goats, black-tailed deer, mountain lions, snowshoe hares, a variety of bats, and black bears. We actually saw a little baby black bear on the Ozette Triangle hike on the beach.
That's right.
It was cute.
Now let's get into some animals you will only see in this area. The first is the Roosevelt elk. This is the largest of the elk species, named for Teddy Roosevelt. They are known for their large size and having darker brown heads and lighter brown bodies. A male can weigh around 1,100 pounds. They can be found across various forests in Olympic. They were originally found as far south as Northern California, but as more and more settlers took the land in Northern California, the population was forced north. They are now protected thanks to first Grover Cleveland, who established the Olympic Forest Preserve, then Teddy Roosevelt, who redesignated it as Mount Olympus National Monument, and finally Franklin D. Roosevelt, who redesignated it Olympic National Park. They are the largest herbivore in the ecosystem, and therefore, their grazing helps to keep areas in balance. The death of one elk can sustain the organisms of a given area for a long time.
There are also two rodents endemic to Olympic National Park. The first is the Olympic chipmunk, which can be found in the subalpine forests. They have white bellies, brown fur, and are known for looking like they have incredibly snatched eye makeup. We did see a few of these scurrying about on trails. The other rodent seen only here in Olympic National Park is the Olympic marmot. That was great, given your illness.
My vocal cords.
Yes, mm-hmm. Your yeah. vocal limitations mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. Unlike other marmots, these are mostly brown and some shaggy tan yellow spots on their backs. And they prefer elevation over 4,000 feet. We saw one while hiking Klahani Ridge.
We did.
For a moment, and then it disappeared.
Yep. And then there are also marine mammals abundant in Olympic. In addition to seals, Olympic is known for bringing back three species from almost extinction, including the sea otter, who now abundantly thrives, the gray whale, who can now be seen in the waters between March and May, and the Steller sea lion, who was removed from the endangered species list in 2013.
And finally, birds. In addition to the usual suspects, our most exciting bird moments from our trip to Olympic National Park included the bald eagle's nest we saw on Ouzet Triangle and the huge cluster of brown pelicans we saw while hiking to Hole in the Wall on Rialto Beach. There are over 300 bird species to be seen in Olympic, so keep an eye and ear out for them.
Now let's turn our gaze to Mount Rainier National Park. Mount Rainier National Park is on the traditional and stolen lands of the Cowlitz, Muckleshoot, Nisqually, Puyallup, Squaxin Island, Yakima, and Coast Salish people. Mount Rainier is considered an active volcano. Its ecology includes areas that are considered alpine, subalpine, and forest.
Also found in Olympic National Park, one animal restoration that Mount Rainier is known for is the fisher, a member of the weasel family and known for its hunting. We did not see any fisher while hiking in Mount Rainier. Other similar animals seen in Mount Rainier include the wolverine, the pika, and many members of the rodent family, including the hoary marmot.
Dusty's favorite.
That's right. Let's talk about the wolverines that we saw while in Mount Rainier.
The wolverines?
We saw no wolverines.
We saw no wolverines.
And what about the pika?
Except for Hugh Jackman.
That's right.
We saw no pika.
We saw no pika.
We saw a pika Correct. In one spot, and that was in Tetons.
That's right, yep. Grand Tetons. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, we did have some great marmot moments.
I mean, we did.
In Mount Rainier.
We did.
One of them, there is that very famous like clip going around the internet of the marmot screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Mm-hmm. Ah! Right, mm-hmm. over and over again. And,
which is how I feel about the world.
Oh, yeah. Same, girl. Same. Every day.
Like a hoary marmot.
Like a hoary marmot.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, everybody, hoary is spelled H-O-A-R-Y, and it means gray.
But you interpret how you want.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
No judgments.
Your imagination is your own. So we did see a marmot holding court. It was like, a lot of times that scream, as we talked about in our trail mix on marmots, is a warning to other marmots. Like, there are people here. There are people here. This marmot was definitely doing that.
Yeah.
It was just sort of like perched up on a little rock as we were like heading up in an incline around Mount Rainier on the Paradise site.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Do check out our trail mix on marmots from this season. Also, like all of our trail mixes, it's also found in our episode finder, linked in the show notes and also on all of our social media. Other mammals in Mount Rainier National Park include black bears, coyotes, mountain lions, bobcats, and the Cascade fox. Okay, so one that we definitely did see was mountain goats.
I think outside of Glacier, this was the most mountain goat experience that we'd had. And we also had like two very close experiences with mountain goats. This
mountain
being
goats
one of
will
them.
Come up close.
Yeah, we were
and
hiking.
You have to give them space.
We were hiking to.
Well, one in Glacier, one was like the Logan on, Pass in the parking
on
lot.
On the High Line, too.
And on the High Line.
Yeah,
and
we
they
had
were
a very
like
close
right
one.
There.
They were just very close. But this, we were on Skyline and they were just like came across the trail. It
that
was
wild.
That
was Glacier, yeah.
No, here on
oh,
Skyline.
That's right.
Yeah,
sorry,
on the Skyline
sorry.
Trail.
I'm thinking Highline
in Rainier.
Glacier.
Yeah, Skyline.
Skyline in Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were about seven of them in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple little babies.
Yeah.
But they were all super shaggy because they were losing their fur for the season.
Yeah. We did see some at a distance too, like near a waterfall, which was great. But I think this was close wildlife experiences that you're unanticipating as long as you are out of the animal's way and kind of give them like a wide berth. It's fascinating. Like as long as you're not approaching them, like if they come upon you, you sort of give them right away and you step back. It's very, very interesting to have that experience. And it's kind of magical to like see it.
Agreed.
There are a number of snake species found in Mount Rainier, including the common garter snake, the northwestern garter snake, the wandering garter snake, and the rubber boa, a drag accessory primed and ready to go.
That's right. Tell them about all the snakes we saw in Mount Rainier.
None.
We saw no snakes.
No.
That's right.
To your rejoicing.
That's right.
Rejoice.
That's that.
Rejoice.
There were no snakes. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thank you. You're going to have to pick up what I put down.
Snakes are crawling up my legs. How's that? I think
that was
works.
Good. That was good.
Okay. And finally, birds. There are quite a lot of birds here in Mount Rainier. There are birds everywhere, but especially here, you can see western tanagers and mountain bluebirds here, which is very special. Mountain bluebirds are wonderful, and I love them. They're some of my favorites. Also, western tanagers are gorgeous. Some birds that birders try to spot while they're in Mount Rainier include the willow flycatcher, the marbled murrelet, the northern spotted owl, and the northern goshawk, and also the harlequin duck, all of whom are on the endangered or sensitive species list.
Which of these birds did we see while we were in Mount Rainier?
We saw none of them.
We saw none
we
of
saw
them.
None
birding,
of these birds.
I think, is better in the spring, though. And
yeah,
we were there
for
in the
sure.
summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. It's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! Now let's park hop all the way to the area also known as Texas, to Guadalupe Mountains National Park. Guadalupe Mountains National Park is on the traditional and stolen lands of the Mescalero Apache and the Lipan Apache, a park that also might make you feel like you're time traveling, not because of what's there, but because of cell service is spotty in most areas, and since it's right on the time zone line, it is sometimes hard to know what time it is. Thank you, Visitor Center, for always posting the time.
The ecological makeup of Guadalupe Mountains National Park is a convergence of many nearby geographical areas, including the Chihuahuan Desert, the Great Plains, and the Rocky Mountains. While being a mountain range in a desert area, it is home to over 1,000 plant species, as well as around 289 bird species, 55 species of reptiles, 16 bats, and 60 mammals.
It provides a home to many nocturnal animals, including the coyote, mountain lion, badger, bobcat, the kit fox, as well as mule deer, black-tailed jackrabbits, and javelina.
Let's talk about when we saw the javelina.
We had not seen javelina.
Correct. We have not seen. Mm-hmm.
Just in photos.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Hope maybe one day.
Mm-hmm. Being that this is a desert park, desert snakes are certainly present, though we didn't see any while we were hiking here. They included the diamondback rattlesnake, coachwhip snake, and bull snake. There are also many lizards found here, including the Chihuahuan spotted whiptail, the crevice spiny lizard, the prairie lizard, and the collared lizard.
Given that this is a desert park, most of the wildlife is active during the night, including scorpions, desert centipedes, as well as desert tarantulas. The only time to actually see a tarantula would be the fall, when they are looking for mates. Otherwise, they are in their homes in the ground.
Since there are forests, mountains, and canyons, various animals find homes in different places, including mule deer, black bear, ringtails, rock squirrels, elk, gray foxes, skunks, and porcupines.
This park is also great for birding and has many similar birds that are also found in Big Bend National Park, though though no Kalima warblers here. Many desert variety sparrows, and in the spring, one may be able to spot a hepatic, western, and or summer tanager. Wilson and Grace's warblers are also here, and Plumbius vireos can also be spotted. Some raptors in this area include turkey vultures and golden eagles. So what animals did we see in Guadalupe Mountains National Park?
So we saw in Guadalupe Mountains National Park some vultures.
We saw a lot of vultures. Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of vultures
flying overhead when we were headed back from
Devil's Hall,
the Wash. Mm-hmm. Coming back from Devil's Hall,
mm-hmm.
There were some birds that we saw when we went to Manzanita Spring and mm-hmm. Smith Spring. Like mm-hmm. that area is mm-hmm. also known for its for birds. A yeah. lot of birds hang out there.
Yeah.
No birds that were necessarily like
standout birds.
Standouts. Yeah. There yeah. were, you know, the varieties of sparrows that were there and things like that. But that was really about it.
No, we really didn't see many big mammal species when we were in the park at all, including horses, which are not necessarily endemic to the park, but people do ride throughout the park because there are spaces, visitor and campgrounds that are specific for horseback riding and as a launch point for many trails. We didn't even see any of that. So yeah, our wildlife here was spotty, but it was early in the spring too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early in the spring. And also, again, most of these animals are nocturnal.
Right. Now let's drive just down the road to Carlsbad Caverns National Park. Carlsbad Caverns National Park is on the traditional and stolen lands of the Mescalero Apache and the Lipan Apache. Located in the land also known as New Mexico, since Carlsbad Cavern is a cave, vegetation and animals inside the cave are extremely minimal given that there is no light other than artificial light. But there is much life above the cave. There are around 900 species of vascular plants found in the park range. Also, due to the desert climate, the park sees the very edge of many plants ranges. For example, it is the easternmost point of the ponderosa pine and the westernmost point for the chinkapin oak.
Other plants found in the park area also include 153 different species of sunflowers, 135 species of grasses, 26 species of cacti, 30 species of poinsettias, 25 species of mint, and 13 species of ferns.
As far as animals, some of the most notable include cougars, an enormous colony of cave swallows that nest and swarm near the mouth of the natural entrance. Some creatures do find a home inside the cave, like cave crickets and cave spiders. Those can be found near the surface. But as we mentioned before in our earlier episodes on caves, these are much larger than typical crickets and spiders.
And of course, there are the bats that the cave is known for. There are actually 17 different bat species that find a home in Carlsbad, though the Brazilian free-tailed bats are the ones guests come to see. They weigh only about half an ounce and have an 11-inch wingspan. During the spring and fall, they emerge from the cave shortly after sunset. Guests can sit in the amphitheater at the natural entrance to watch them. When they emerge from the cave, they fly in a counterclockwise direction. The reason for this is still being studied by scientists. They hypothesize it may have something to do with the Earth's magnetic pole.
For more info on bats, do check out our trail mix on bats from this season.
The sources for today's Summit on Wildlife include the National Wildlife Refuge Association, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Park Service, the article Trump's Job Cuts, This Overlooked Agency Put Every American at Risk, an interview with Martha Williams by Benji Jones, published on Vox, the article How Cuts and $1 Payment Limits Are Making Federal Jobs Harder by Jenna McLaughlin, Jonathan Lambert, and Shannon Bond, as heard on NPR's All Things Considered.
And now let's end the summit with a queen and a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Agatha Crispy.
Agatha Crispy.
Mm. She's Yum. One that I don't remember from our list, but I like her.
I like her too. Mm-hmm. She's appeared, I'd say, in the last 5 months.
Got it.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Agatha Crispy, obviously a reference to Agatha Christie, mm-hmm. the great
mystery writer,
murder mystery mm-hmm. novelist mm-hmm. who created the formula for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agatha Crispy. Yeah. I feel like there's food involved. There's got to mm-hmm. be food involved, right?
Yeah. I think that part of her entertainment is in giving out snacks
like
to
that.
Her audience. And it's not just Rice Krispie treats. I think it's anything that's like kind of crunchy and makes like a munchy sort of sound.
So
with
we're
the mouth.
Talking chicken fingers.
Sure. Chicken fingers. I think trail mix. I think mm-hmm. like Cheetos. Anything that has that sort of like crisp feel, mouth feel to it.
I like it.
Yeah.
That could also be like a crisp drink. She could do like really ice cold sodas.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like I think she's a hospitality queen through and through.
Agatha Christie.
So she is like, she lives to serve, basically.
I wonder if she has a period look, like if she's from a specific period, like the 40s or something like that, like during a time when her books were set.
I think it could be also an homage to the Mark Summers How Did This Get Made? Like, I think that each of her shows could be themed around one crispy item. Like, it's a centerpiece to her show. Like, the act is always changing. It's like...
Oh, that's fun.
You know? And, like, I do feel like she could do a fun... I don't feel like Snap, Crackle, and Pop for Rice Krispies ever had, like, a fun jingle. But I'm sure that, like, she and some DJ could throw together, like, some, like, Snap, Crackle, Pop. And like Ooh, make it I like
that.
Like,
I liked that what could you be did her... with your body to perform that just now.
Well, if you like that. but I do feel like she could do something like that that becomes like the standard for the start of her show.
There's also maybe a mystery prize, like maybe underneath somebody's seat there's something.
Sure, like, that like can be
some
homage
mystery
to Agatha Christie.
Involved
sure.
That doesn't necessarily have to
be
overarching.
I think it could be the thread through the, it could either be like, guess what? I'm actually giving you this journey. I'm giving you clues, or it's like, guess the hidden ingredient. Like, I'm reconstructing this item that is crispy, and
I like that.
Can you guess what I actually put in here?
That's fun. Hint, there's a lot of
it's
ways
sunflower
to do that.
Oil. So, yeah, I think that would be it. But
it's sunflower crispies.
Mm-hmm,
that's sunflower what we're crispies, eating. It's yeah. just little crispy sunflower petals.
Yeah.
Salted.
So yeah, I don't know that I have a specific song for her because I think it would be dependent on the show itself. So yeah. Except for her Snap, Crackle, Pop that I'm like now want a DJ to like record as like a fat, wet beat.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Agatha Christie. Now let's end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Okay, Mike, are you ready for today's game?
I am.
I hope you were listening and paying attention.
Okay.
Because all of the answers to this trivia game were wildlife that we mentioned earlier in this episode.
Great.
So
recorded in two separate sittings.
That is true. We did record this in two separate sittings, everybody. So here we go. The category is the wildlife from season 7.
Okay.
For 100, this reptile found in Guadalupe Mountains National Park sounds like it may wear ruffles, look into the sunset with no trees in sight, and star in a Laura Ingalls Wilder novel.
What is a ruffle prairie lizard?
I'm going to give it to you. What is a prairie lizard?
Okay, great.
Yeah, but yeah, it probably would wear ruffles.
Okay.
Right? Okay, for 200. This mammal found in Guadalupe Mountains National Park, but also found in other parks like Big Bend and Saguaro, sounds like a feminine name inspired, or sounds like also maybe spelled like a feminine name inspired by an Olympic event where one throws a spear as far as they can.
What is a javelina?
That is correct. And that is an animal whose name begins with a J.
Mm-hmm.
For 300.
Soft J.
That's right. This reptile found in Mount Rainier National Park sounds like an accessory for a drag queen made of recycled tire shreds.
What is a rubber lizard?
Oh, you're so close. What is a rubber boa?
Rubber boa. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For 400, this waterfowl found in Mount Rainier National Park is sought after the world over and sounds like it should have a diamond drawn over its eye, or like it might gesture through the water. Or like it might appear as a villain in a Joker film.
What is a Harlequin duck?
That is correct.
Okay.
For 400.
Great.
Good job. And for 500. While this sly creature is found in Guadalupe Mountains National Park, it sounds like a nickname for one of the stars of Heartstopper.
What is a Kit Fox?
That is correct. All right. And that is our wildlife summit, everybody.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.